Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We believe that the kingdom referred to in Daniel 2, 44 and 45 is the kingdom which will be established when Christ returns with power and glory and crushes the kingdoms and the powers of this world. This kingdom will never end.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're continuing in the book of Daniel and exploring an amazing prophecy about the past and future kingdoms of this world. No matter how strong a nation may seem, there is no comparison to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a kingdom which will never end. So let's join Pastor John Monroe for today's lesson titled, Kingdoms Rise and Fall.
As a wee boy in Scotland, I learned about Daniel being in the den of lions. But there's much more to learn about Daniel. He's taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who conquers Jerusalem and takes some of the elite of Israel back to Babylon as his prisoners. Although the Babylonians try to indoctrinate Daniel, he holds fast to his belief in the one true God. He takes a stand for God. He honors God, and God honors him in that stand. And Daniel becomes known as a very wise, exceptional man of God. So it's not surprising that when Nebuchadnezzar has disturbing dreams, he sends for Daniel. And in the purposes of God, Daniel gives the clear interpretation of the dreams. Let's learn more then of Daniel's interpretation of these visions.
We want to consider Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its interpretation by Daniel. Let's open our Bibles then to Daniel chapter 2, where we will see, first of all, in verses 31 through 35, the dream given. Here is Daniel now, young Daniel, before King Nebuchadnezzar, revealing the dream. You saw, O king, and behold a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now we have in verses 36 through 45 the dream interpreted. Let's read verse 36. Here's the interpretation. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. Verse 37. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom, inferior to you, shall arise after you. And yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these things. And as you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmest of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the ten kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, notice this, that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Isn't that wonderful? Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, a great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. I have no doubt Nebuchadnezzar as to what I'm saying, because this is the revelation of God. This final form, then, of the Roman Empire, having this 10-nation confederacy, will be in place when the stone smashes the statue. These 10 kings, represented by the 10 toes of the statue, this mixture of iron and clay. Now you say, who or what is that stone which shatters all of the kingdoms of the world? That's not a difficult question, is it? It is, of course, a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is clearly the stone. He is the one made by no human hands. That's said in verses 34 and 45, referring to his divinity. He is made by no human hands. Listen to the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 20, as he quotes the Old Testament himself. Luke chapter 20, verse 17. But he looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will, what? Crush him. And again, in Acts chapter 4, even more explicitly, as Peter is going to quote the same scripture and make it very clear, Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you, to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is presently the cornerstone of the church. Verses 44 and 45 clearly refers to the coming of Jesus Christ in his power and in his glory to destroy all world powers so that his kingdom fills the whole earth. Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2 that the kingdoms of this world will not last forever. His own one is going to fall. But not only is Babylon going to fall, all of them are going to fall. And that the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, that stone which smashes the kingdoms of this world, this kingdom will stand forever. We believe that the kingdom referred to in Daniel 2, 44 and 45 is the kingdom which will be established when Christ returns with power and glory and crushes the kingdoms and the powers of this world. This kingdom will never end, as the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, what we call the millennium, will usher in the eternal state. Yes, there will be a future, literal, earthly reign of Jesus Christ on earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The millennial kingdom will follow the second coming of Jesus Christ and will be literally fulfilled by a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. That is, Jesus returns prior to, pre the millennium. We are pre-millennialists. Now, here are very quickly some reasons for believing that verses 44 and 45, this fifth and final kingdom, refer to the second coming of Christ and not his first coming. There are some who say this refers to his first coming. And I'm saying from our study of Scripture, no. This refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. First, Christianity did not fill the whole earth at Christ's first coming. The kingdom of God has not yet, verse 35, filled the whole earth. Look at the world today. Is Christianity worldwide? Answer, no. Christ's first coming, it is true, took place in the days of the Roman Empire. But Rome did not have 10 kings then. The Roman Empire, furthermore, was not destroyed at Christ's first coming. The Roman Empire continued after the first coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, in AD 70, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They desecrated the temple so that not one stone was left on top of another. And the Jewish nation was scattered for hundreds and hundreds of years. The kingdom represented by this stone can't be the church. The church of Jesus Christ is not a political entity. It has not caused the cataclysmic destruction of the Gentile kingdom. No, it is Christ himself, personally. It is Christ who will smash in pieces the Gentile nations. Remember Psalm 2 verse 9? You shall break them, referring to the nations. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Not very politically correct, is it? But the word of God, all of the nations which oppose Christ, just as a potter takes a rod and smashes the pot, so is that wonderful prophecy in Psalm 2 that the coming Messiah is going to smash all opposition into pieces. Another way of saying the same thing that we're learning in Daniel chapter 2. The church, therefore, is not the fifth kingdom. The phrase in verse 35, filled the whole earth, argues for an earthly aspect for this kingdom, as does the fact that it replaces earthly kingdoms. The millennial kingdom is a kingdom on earth, as opposed to an amillennial view of the kingdom, which is purely spiritual. The church, contrary to the views of some, will not Christianize the world. Brothers and sisters, we by ourselves are not going to usher in the kingdom of God. God, not the church, will set up his kingdom. And his kingdom, as we see in Daniel 2, as we read in Revelation 19, his kingdom comes suddenly, not gradually, when the King of Kings returns and defeats all of the kingdoms of this world. Christ, as it's been prophesied, will beat his enemy's swords into plowshares. The fact that this kingdom destroys earthly kingdoms indicates it has an earthly aspect. The fact that it endures forever emphasizes that it has a heavenly aspect. The millennial kingdom will begin within space-time history on earth and then continue into the eternal state. That's the sequence of event in Revelation 19, 20, 21, and 22. Revelation 19, our Lord Jesus returns with power and might and smashes into pieces the opposing nations of the world. Revelation 20, the millennial kingdom. Revelation 21 and 22, the eternal state. How wonderful to know that God, as we've been learning, that God is in charge. We don't need to panic. We don't need to be fearful. God's kingdom is coming, and it will come with great power and glory. Now, the results of the dream, finally, the dream's results, verses 46 through 49. As Nebuchadnezzar hears the interpretation, he's impressed and awed, but he's not converted. Verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you've been able to reveal this mystery." Although he's very impressed, it doesn't lead to a personal relationship with God, but Daniel is promoted and honored. Verse 48, then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained at the king's court. What a great passage, isn't it? Daniel chapter 2. To me, this is a very, very exciting study. Vernon Grounds, former president of Denver Seminary, tells the story of some seminary students playing basketball in a nearby public school. And the elderly janitor waited patiently, and every time the seminarians came, he waited patiently until they finished playing. And invariably, as he sat waiting for the students to finish their game of basketball, he was reading his Bible. One day, one of the students asked him what he was reading. The man answered, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." Surprised, the young man perhaps a little patronizingly, after all, he's a seminary student and we know they know everything. The young man asked the elderly janitor if he understood the book of Revelation. Oh yes, the man assured him. I understand it. Seminary student was a bit surprised. He said, well, what does it mean? Very quietly, the janitor answered, it means that Jesus is going to win. I like that. We learn from Daniel 2 that in spite of the tremendous opposition of these terrible ungodly kingdoms like Babylon, like the Medes, like the Persians, like the Greeks, like the Romans with all of their gods, that Jesus is going to win. And praise God, brothers and sisters, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are on the victory side. I realize it doesn't always look like that. But as Paul says, if God be for us, is he? Of course he is. If God is for us, who can be against us? And the kingdoms of this world, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, Greece, Rome, all of the kingdoms of the world, them and more, they rise, they seem so powerful, they seem that they will never be defeated. Think of the Third Reich, think of the British Empire, think of communism, think of Marxism, think of the various empires and kingdoms of this world in human history, all coming, all seem very, very powerful, all seeming unconquerable, whether it's Napoleon or whether it's Hitler, whoever it is. They rise, and inevitably, they all fall. And I realize that some of the kingdoms of this world today, as I speak, seem very, very strong. Think of the rising kingdom of atheism, even in our own country. Think of the rise of the kingdom of militant Islam, the kingdom of secularism, the kingdom of materialism. All of these kingdoms of spiritual darkness, but like Babylon, like Medo-Persia, like Greece, like Rome, they will all fall. They will all be destroyed. And Daniel is saying, and the scripture is attesting to this great truth, yet future, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. And when Jesus Christ returns with power and glory, he will break in pieces all of the kingdoms of this world and establish his kingdom, which will never end. That kingdom will come suddenly, yes, like a thief in the night. Nothing, and no one can stop him. Christ perhaps seen like a little stone today, perhaps ridiculed, patronized by people saying, well, he taught some great things, a great insight person, one who helps us in our way, in the path to enlightenment. But it will be demonstrated that he is no small stone. His kingdom is the all-powerful kingdom. It is an everlasting kingdom. And brothers and sisters, this is not science fiction. This is fact. This is going to happen. The question I have for you is this. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Remember Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things we worry about, these things we panic about, these things that keep us awake at night, all of these things I'll take care of, but make sure you seek first the kingdom of God. Are you ready to meet the king? If the king were to come today, are you ready to meet the king? Have you received him into your heart and your life? First of all, as your personal savior, turning from your sins and looking to Jesus alone for salvation. That's why he came the first time. His name is Jesus. As we sang, what a mighty name. Why is it so mighty? Because his name is Jesus, for he saves his people from their sins. And as Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why must we be saved? Why can't we worship some other God? Why can't we be part of another kingdom? Because this kingdom is the only kingdom that will last forever. And Jesus himself said, unless you're born again, you will not see. you will not even enter the kingdom of God. You must become like a little child and humble yourself and bow before me and acknowledge that you can't get to God by yourself. And that God in his grace and in his great love has come into time space, dying our death, bearing our sins, rising from the dead, demonstrating that he is God, that he is the cornerstone of the church. And that we in time, he calls us to do what? To bow before him, to acknowledge that he is the king. You find it difficult to hand over control? Isn't it smart to hand over control to the one who is in control? The one who is going to set up this kingdom which will never end today. If you're here without Jesus Christ, will you trust him? Will you believe in him? And brothers and sisters, those of us who claim to be followers of Christ, will we today, will we this moment afresh bow before him? If you're like me, you sometimes stray, don't you? And you get your eyes off the king. You're perhaps trying to build your own little kingdom and you forget who really is in charge, that he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and afresh consecrate our lives, our resources, our all to that kingdom which will never end. Will you do that? He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. Therefore, love and seek and pray and serve the King of kings and Lord of lords, even as we say. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, as we think of this great panorama of human history going right on into eternity, we are truly humbled. And we have to confess that, bizarre as it sounds, we sometimes try and build our own little kingdom as if we can do better. Forgive us, Father. Thank you for this reminder that you are in charge, and that Jesus Christ is the only King of kings and Lord of lords. Afresh, we bow, prostrate ourselves before our Savior and our Lord and our King. And may all of us seek first the kingdom of God. And for those outside of Christ, open our eyes, Father, to see their sin and to see the wonder of Christ who loved them and gave himself for them. We respond as we look forward to that great day, as we say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled Kingdoms Rise and Fall. As a special thank you to our listeners, we'd like to send you a special new booklet by John called Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. This brand new guidebook will help you consider what Jesus and the Bible really have to say about the pivotal subjects of marriage, gender, and sexuality, including transgenderism. Each chapter will equip you to better navigate these important issues and conversations with grace and truth. So request your copy of this free booklet today by visiting calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if The Verdict Ministry has made a positive impact in your life, we invite you to start making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us to distribute these biblical messages. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your one-time donation of any amount today by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out The Verdict Podcast, available on all major podcast apps. Along with our daily lessons, John has started a brand new weekly podcast called Avizandum. Every Tuesday, he shares his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics and gives them the careful consideration that Scottish law calls avizandum. So don't wait. Check out The Verdict Podcast today. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Aren't you fascinated by these dreams and the interpretations? All of the kingdoms of this world, without exception, come and go. Make sure you're part of the unending kingdom of God. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is to be received as a little child. Today, come with humility to our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him as Lord and Savior of your life, and you will be part of the kingdom of God. Join me next time when we meet Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.